A banker approaches the pearly gates, sweating and struggling with a heavy suitcase. St. Peter greets him warmly and says, "Set the suitcase down and come on in." "No way," barks the banker. "I have to bring it in." "What could possibly be in there that's so important?" asks St. Peter. The banker opens the suitcase to reveal 50 gold bricks. And St. Peter's jaw drops. "You brought pavement?" Ever dream about what you're taking along to heaven? Don't wrestle with a heavy suitcase, because anything you have here won't be in any need of there. And we'll see in this text here this morning that although we don't need to prepare a suitcase to go to heaven, we're challenged to use the things that we do own here and now that God has given us while we're still alive. We're under the broad heading here of the conduct of the church in chapters 4 and 6 of Ephesians, and which challenges us to put into practice the theoretical knowledge that we've gained in chapters 1 and 3 of this letter. And this letter, by the way, as you notice if you read the introduction, it is written to the saints. Paul says here, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I want to address that this morning, that this message this morning is addressed to the saints in Lacrete, Alberta. And if you don't fit that title, then I encourage you that you better get to know Jesus Christ. Because where you're at now is some place that you don't want to stay. Because you're on a road that leads to a hell-bound eternity. And only Jesus Christ is the one that can rescue you from the trip that you're on and turn you around and put your life into focus and perspective and give you some meaning to live out in life. Get to know Jesus Christ by faith if you don't fit into this introduction of to the saints in Lacrete Christian Fellowship. If you don't know what that means, I encourage you, talk to somebody before you leave this building and do your homework. We saw in the first six verses of chapter 4 last Sunday that we are to be humble, gentle, patient in our daily Christian life, even in the church on Sunday morning and any other time. And according to verses 2 and 3 of that passage, it challenges us to keep the unity through the bond of peace. And we glean 7 unifying elements from that text, which Mr. Johnson shared with us, that we as believers, whether Jew or Gentile, have in common. We are one in body, we are one in spirit, we are one hope, and we have one Lord, we have one faith, one baptism, and one God. Having looked at the basis of unity, Paul now talks about the reaching the unity of the body by the means of various gifts. And we will read our text this morning, 7 through 16. We begin with 7 to 13 this morning, and we'll make some comments on that passage. But to each one, Paul says, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill a whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Having looked at unity, we'll now look at the diversity within the church. God has created us to be different. He has gifted us to be different, as we've seen this morning in some of the sharing that was done this morning. Not one of their focus was exactly the same, and not one of the people that shared looked exactly the same. God is not into cloning, which he could have very well done. He didn't make us the same, and he made us all different with different gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11. Let's just flip there for just a moment, 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11, and see the creativeness of God in this passage. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, verse 4 reads, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the common good. To the one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines." God makes the ultimate choice on the gift that you or I obtain. These gifts are given here as Christ determines. Verse 8 refers to Psalm 68, which is the essence of this psalm, is that of a military victor who has the right to give gifts to the members or soldiers of his army, those that identify with him. For example, the war veterans, they display their accomplishments on what they wear on their shoulder. And some of them have quite a list. And I can't label them, but it looks very impressive, and I admire some of these men when you see them from time to time on the news, some of the First or Second World War vets that are still alive today and sharing some of the things that they've experienced. God bless them. Christ has won the battle on the cross when he said, "It is finished," and he redeemed sinful people, and he became the victor, and he gave these gifted believers, you and I, as gifts to the church. Christ gave you and me as gifted believers to the church. But in this text of Ephesians 4, 7-16, it refers to gifted believers given to the church. The text we just read referred to gifts given to individuals. Verse 9 tells us that without his descension, coming down to earth, deity taking on humanity, going to the cross, winning the battle over sin and death, being placed in the grave, the lower earthly regions, without having accomplished that, Christ could not have ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe with his glory. Verse 22 and 23 of chapter 1. Just flip back a couple of pages, please. Verse 22 and 23 of chapter 1. "And God placed all things under his feet, which is Jesus Christ, and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Because of his victory, Christ is head over everything for the church, and from this position, he gives gifts to men and women as well as men and women to the church, which is his body, of which he is the head." If you think you're without a gift, then you better read 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6 again, which you just read this morning. God has not missed out on you. If he is giving you life and breath this moment as you sit here, believe me, he has given you a gift to use and contribute to the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Verse 11 gives us the list of people that Christ gave to the church. Verse 11 of chapter 4. "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." The apostles were the 12 who had the office of apostleship as a result of being with Christ, according to Acts chapter 1, 21 and 22. Appointed by Christ would also be including Paul, according to 1 Corinthians and Galatians. Apostles were those who carried the gospel message with God's authority. By definition, an apostle is one sent as an authoritative delegate. You have been sent by as an authoritative delegate, which is Jesus Christ himself who has sent you. The New Testament prophets were gifts to the church to provide edification, exhortation, and comfort, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Evangelists were those spreading the gospel like our missionaries do today, and like the young lady shared here this morning, she's in a recruiting position to get other young men and women to join forces. Pastors and teachers are people whose ministries are among settled congregations, comforting and encouraging people in God's ways by his word. The purpose of the gifted believers is to equip other believers for ministry, to stabilize them doctrinally and practically, and lead them to mutual edification. Is the purpose for the gifted believers is to equip believers for ministry, to stabilize them doctrinally and practically, and lead them to mutual edification. The purpose for the church, why we gather on Sunday mornings and why others gather in their congregations on Sunday mornings, I've summed it up very simply. I refer to it as the three E's, which I'm sure some of you have heard me mention before. The three E's. I remember it by the triple E motorhome, which many of you are familiar with, or RV units. They are exaltation, edification, and evangelization are the three purposes of the church. We gather on a Sunday morning, and we begin by exalting the Lord our God. The first priority, exalt the Lord our God. Secondly, we hear from his word, and we are edified by listening to it and obeying it. Then we are equipped through this exaltation and edification for the purpose of evangelization. That is God's whole purpose for the body, is to be evangelists, to have an evangelistic mindset. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be on the front lines, but we're all involved in one way or another in the work of evangelization, because that is God's program. And whether you like it or not, you will not change his mind about the program. 2 Timothy 2:2 tells us that we are to teach other reliable men so that they will qualify to teach others. And so the multiplication continues. The goal, the building up or edifying of the body of Christ. Did you know that you're all gifted to serve others spiritually in one way, shape, or form? You're all gifted to serve others spiritually in one way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter how inadequate you feel this morning. You are equipped and gifted to serve someone somewhere in some way spiritually in the body of Christ. Till we all reach unity in the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God and become mature and attain fullness in Christ. As believers function in accordance with the gifts or gifts Christ has given them, the body enjoys unity. It becomes more spiritually mature and more like Jesus Christ in his likeness. Verse 14 to 16 gives us the end result of the gifted people equipping saints to serve the Lord and others. We should not remain infants, easily swayed or confused, like a wave tossed back and forth, like a leaf in the wind, blown here and there by various kinds of teaching, falling prey to cunning craftiness of men and deceitful schemes. False teachers can use this kind of thing, and it's called confusion, and that's where they like to get you and to keep you in confusion. They can tell you whatever they want. They lead you around like a bull with a ring in its nose. You'll willingly walk because you're totally in confusion. You don't know whether they're telling you the truth or whether you're telling you a lie. You got to get familiar with the foundation of truth. Just recently, a gentleman stopped in at my place of business, and he left behind a tract in the washroom, which he used when he was there. and focusing on some of the doctrines that are out there that are very negative, that are not evangelistic whatsoever, trying to get my attention away from truth and into something that is of no value to me whatsoever. And I believe that he was there for a purpose, because he's been there a number of times before, and he has seen evangelistic tracts and scriptures on the counter, which he has often made purchases. And I believe that he was trying to sway someone into thinking that what he was distributing was of a greater value or importance. I was encouraged to find the tract because it gave me some energy to say, there's a purpose why we're doing what we're doing. There is still a need, even in this community. There's other people that are walking around with tracts, and that's fine. But I believe that truth will always rise to the top. If we stick with the truth and don't fall for some of the cunning craftiness and schemes of false teachers, we will always rise to the top. Instead, speaking what? The truth in love. What truth? Biblical truth. Then we will grow up into Christ likeness, because he is the author of truth. Christ is the source of our growth and ought to be the aim and goal of our growth. Each believer is to function in Christ's body by God's grace, exercising the gift that Christ has given him or her. When this happens, the church grows properly to Christ likeness. Growth, in fact, is stunted when you don't allow our own gifts to function, or those of others, when we stand in the way of others using their gifts in the body of Jesus Christ. Keeping unity in the church, then, is the responsibility of God's gifted people in the church. Unity in structure, diverse in function, causes body growth, not just self-growth. We're not just here to meet our own needs, but we're also here to meet the needs of others. Amen? If all we're here for is to meet our own needs, we may very well be able to do that at home. And that is contrary to the instruction of the Word of God. We are encouraged to meet together as a body of believers, encouraging us, one another, to continue on in the fight of faith. That is the sole purpose of our living. Each individual contributes to the growth of the body as he or she allows his or her particular gifts to function. I lately experienced some physical difficulty as a result of doing a job that I should not have done, and I've realized now that I will leave the carrying of gyprock sheeting 12-foot lengths to those that dare to put their picture on the front cover of Muscle magazine. And I realize how critical it is that your parts of the body function together in harmony to ease pain, to be productive, and to enjoy life. And I want to read you this story in closing. Charles Stanley writes, "Not too long ago, I was photographing in a beautiful canyon. I was walking along the creek bed looking for a place to sit down, when the next thing I knew, I was lying on my side with my arm twisted beneath me. Amazingly enough, my camera was still in my right hand, not a scratch on it. Slowly, I rolled over to check the damage to my left arm. My arm and shoulder were fine, but my wrist was broken in two places. Before long, my buddy caught up with me, and I told him what had happened. 'How did you keep from dropping your camera?' he asked. He says, 'I'm not sure,' I replied, 'but when I went down, I probably instinctively held it up and stuck out my left arm to break my fall.' After a couple of x-rays, my doctor confirmed my suspicions. I had used my left arm to break the fall. If I hadn't, I could have been hurt much worse. 'The whole situation,' says Dr. Stanley, 'reminds me of how dependent each member of the physical body is on the other members. My wrist took the shock of the fall, and my legs picked me back up. My feet took my injured wrist and ego to safety. And my other arm, hand and arm, nursed my injury as we made our way out of the canyon. Now let's use our imaginations for a moment. Imagine that my arms, legs, and hands, and wrists all had personalities of their very own. As I started falling, my left arm shouted to my right arm, "Hey, you, better get ready to absorb some extra weight there." The right arm responded, "Are you kidding? He's fallen towards you, not me. Besides, it's the foot's fault. If he'd been watching where he was going, none of this would have happened in the first place." About that time, my nose joined in the conversation. "Somebody do something. This is going to be serious. It's going to hurt." "Don't yell at me," replied the left arm. "I didn't do anything, and I'm not going to." By that time, I'm face down on the rocks with a lot more to worry about than a broken wrist. If the members of our physical bodies acted independently of one another, we would be in a terrible mess. The spirit-filled life is like that. It is a life of interdependency. We are to remain dependent on the Holy Spirit, but we are to live interdependently with believers. None of us is an island unto ourselves. We need each other. God created it to be so. Anything you or I do to try and change that program will hinder not only you, but the whole body of Jesus Christ. The question becomes, what are you doing with the gift that Christ has given you? Is it being used in the growth process of the Church of Jesus Christ? Are others benefiting from the gift you have been given? If someone is not benefiting, then we are all losing, because you are not sharing your gift with others. The gift was meant to be shared with the body of Christ in your local church. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what that gift is, it was meant to be used for the glory of God and the benefit of the current day church. Amen? God in heaven, thank you for your creativeness, for gifting us in unique ways, and how we need each other and the various gifts that you've given to us. None of us possess them all, but all of us possess some. Help us to recognize what they are, and then help us to humble ourselves and be willing to give them up on a daily basis for the benefit of the church and the glory of God. Amen. God bless you as you use the gift he's given you.